Good evening, brothers, sisters in Christ. I'd like to pray before we open the Bible. Shall we all pray together? Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our pastor's prayer. The pastor quite early on asked that you forgive us our sins. Truly, Lord, we are sinners. All praise and glory to you that we are sinners saved by grace. So, Father, with confidence, we come before your presence tonight, both to pray and to read your, to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, the preparation of your word from Romans 14, verses 22 and 23 will be a blessing to your people. But more important, Lord Father, hear our cry that your name be glorified. That opening the Bible will glorify you. So we pray, Father, that your spirit work in our hearts, that we sing praises unto you. And we pray, and when we hear your words, we pray and ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So tonight's devotion is a devotion of a personal nature. And the lesson is something that each one of us can definitely apply. God's word for tonight is from the last two verses of Romans chapter 14. And that is Paul's letter to the Roman Christians. Now in the two verses, the apostle Paul wrote, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Now happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. And he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eat not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is of sin." So that's where we get a title for tonight's devotion, Be Happy. So let's jump straight into the words of God in the two verses. Firstly, a short summary of chapter 14. So when Paul wrote chapter 14, there are two messages he had in mind. Number one, how to relate to a Christian brother who is weak. Okay, this Christian brother, even though there are things that's not sinful, he or she is convinced that he should not eat it or he should not do it. And the second half of Romans chapter 14 is for those who understand those matters, that such things are not sinful. But how is this person supposed to relate to the weaker brother? And that's, of course, the second brother is instructed not to be proud. Paul told him not to be proud. And Paul specifically mentioned that this brother is not to stumble the weaker brother in the faith. So in the process of teaching the Roman Christians how to relate to one another over such matters, Paul gave many insights. And at the final instruction of the chapter, okay, on what we should be doing after we make a decision. And that's after the Christian has talked about what they're supposed to do. Okay, Paul tells them what you're supposed to do with the decision that you have taken. I would like us to continue tonight's devotion by looking at verse 23 first. Then in this verse, the first two words are "and he." It is very unfortunate that these two words "and he" might not be properly understood by us in the 21st century. Back in the days of the Christians in the 1600s, the reader of the Bible of this word would have known it meant "but." That's the meaning of the original word, and that is how it is translated today. This "but" is very important to how to the whole picture of how to make decision that you found in verses 1 to 22. So at the end of the 22 verses, Paul called our attention to the larger and even condemnation that follows for doubting the decisions that we have taken. The price paid for doubting our choices and our decision after following the instructions in the 21 verses is the loss of blessedness. So this is a self-inflicted unhappiness. We live in a world where decision needs to be made every day. But the positive message of this "but" is that the child of God can still be happy and blessed when he acts with a clear conscience out of a biblical instruction. So right from the very beginning, I want to put to everyone that we can be happy with the decision that we have made, with the choices that we have done, we have chosen, when we do not have second thoughts about living according to the word of God. For example, we can be blessed and we can be happy, okay, when we decide which car to buy, what car to buy, or should we even buy or should we not buy? Who should we marry? Which Christian should we marry? Sometimes you get the option of more than one Christian suitor. Which one should we marry? We can be happy regardless of which one we chose. How about friendship? Sometimes friendships are strained. Okay. Is it time to call for friendship? Even sometimes, is it time to call a courtship? How about when you leave an old job and you take out a new one? How about when you buy an insurance policy that requires a long-term commitment? Can you be happy in these decisions, these actions that you've taken? How about when you have to trouble your church pastors and your elders and your deacons with your kind and constructive feedback? Do you regret doing it? Sometimes we create troubles for our friendship and for our relationship at home because of your Christ-like behavior and your Christ-centered action and decision. So these are just some day-to-day decisions. And in verse 22 and 23, God says, we can be happy and we can be blessed. The confidence we have about our happiness and our blessedness is that the Bible has the answer to how we should make those decisions. Our day-to-day decision-making can be guided by biblical principles. And some of these principles and guidance are found in the passage preceding the but. Okay, from verse 22 up to verse 1. Tonight, we're not going to focus on those principles that's found in verse 1 to 21 of Romans chapter 14. So, for example, we're not going to talk about, we're not going to focus on the matter of Christian liberty when making decisions. We're not going to talk about godly decision, how to make godly decision. I will not be teaching how to live righteously with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit as the purpose for making those decisions, or how to put Christ first and not be afraid of objections, or how to love a brother in Christ, how not to stumble him, how not to offend him, how not to weaken him. These are not the issues that we're going to cover tonight. I'm skipping these matters for now because they require more than the 15 minutes that we have for tonight. Furthermore, they can and are already being addressed at our Sunday sermons, our Sunday school classes, our private study of God's Word, during our quiet time and prayer with the Lord, and even in our fellowship with one another, a fellowship that's Christ-centered. So for tonight, I'll focus our attention on the meaning and the application of verses 22 to 23. What does this verses mean? How to apply it when you're making decisions, and how to be happy and enjoy the blessedness of God with the decision and action that we have taken. So in verse 23, we have the first instruction about the decision that we made. Paul's concern about making decision where the Bible did not list the do's and don'ts was not to doubt. So I say that again. Okay? Paul's concern about making decisions where the Bible did not list the do's and don'ts was after we make those decisions, we are not to doubt. What does it mean for a Christian to not doubt after making a decision? The meaning here is about having, it's about not having misgiving, not having second thoughts. This double-mindedness was what James had in mind in James chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. James wrote, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Paul explained differently about this unstability when he wrote 23. And then he says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin." Christian today has no reason to doubt or be double-minded or has misgivings when their clear conscience is guided by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Let me explain that statement with an illustration. There's this slogan flying around in the world of artificial intelligence. The slogan goes like this: where there is no data, it is just an opinion. In life and in faith, we are never without data. When we make decision, when we take action, and the intention is to love God, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Christians are given the word of God. As such, our life's choices based on scripture is not based on an opinion. All truly born again Christians have Christ, have his divine guide, which is the Holy Spirit, and with the Bible. In Singapore, God's word is easily available to us. Furthermore, the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, is in us to guide us. I hope each one of us know what is it like to live in the shadow of God's presence. I hope each one of us knows what it's like to have a life where God's word and Holy Spirit fills our hearts and our action, and in it, to learn to be more like Christ. And because of these things, we can live with confidence in all the decisions that we need to make or has made. If this is how we live our life, we have no reason to doubt or has misgivings about our choices and decisions. If living according to the Bible and guided by the Holy Spirit, we do not say things like, I regret. We do not say things like, I should not have done it. We should not say things like, oh, this outcome for decision I take is too painful, so God must be wrong. We do not say things like this. Because the idea in verse 22 and 23 is not to doubt ourselves when we have rightly applied the instruction of God in our decision making. If we have gone through the vigors of prayer, we've gone through the vigors of study and the application of God's word, and some of us may even have humbly seek godly counsel. We may have talked to our family, talked to our friends. Okay? So do not doubt when the result is not what we expected. Do not doubt when people criticize us and ridicule us and talk down on us. Do not doubt when making right choices meant personal cost. Sometimes it's medically costly and sometimes it's financially costly. Do not doubt. Do not be discouraged. And then you start to doubt yourself for making choices that's Christ-honoring, God-centered, and loving other people. Next, Paul tells us there's a price to pay when we doubt ourselves after obeying or trusting in God's promises. He calls such behavior as one acting without faith in God, especially God's promise of redemption. So when we come to verse 23, Paul writes that our self-doubt or misgiving for the biblical decision taken creates problem for us. For example, Paul in Romans 14 was teaching about to be vegan or not, to drink wine or not to drink wine, and making decisions that will not cause your brother in Christ to stumble. Do you regret making those decisions? Okay, without going into the details for the above three examples, I want to say there's a lot of similarity with those examples for each one of us when we choose to buy something or don't buy something, to go somewhere or don't go somewhere, to apply for something or not to apply for something, and the list goes on. So the second application for tonight must be this. Have I applied the words of God and the wisdom of God in my decisions and in my actions? Now, I suspect that we often doubt or had misgivings about our actions and our decision because we did not do it in consultation with and dependence upon God. I mean, we do not know the Bible or we do not have the biblical thought in our head, and we did not refer to biblical instruction, and then we did not pray about it. We go into those circumstances according to our wisdom and our ability. And when things start to fall apart, we doubt. But the example of doubt in verses 22 and 23 is worse than the above. It's worse than not knowing or not applying God's word. The doubt in verse 23 is about deciding to trust God in his words and then moving forward based on that, only to have second thoughts, only to have doubt. Why? Because things didn't happen the way we want. Things didn't happen the way we expected. So we regretted. Trusting in God's word is about, trusting in God's word is about not doubting him and not having misgiving about him and his character. And this especially happens when we do not get what we want. Either way, whether we have followed scripture or we did not follow scripture, having misgiving and doubt will cause us to be condemned or to be judged. One final application for tonight. We are told by John, the apostle, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Apostle was referring to Jesus Christ. The final application is this: to live without misgiving, doubt, and regret. It's about knowing Jesus intimately. This means knowing him well, according to what is recorded in the Bible. Know him well as what is written in Genesis all the way to Revelation. So, want to live without regrets? Know God. Know your Savior and spend time with him in the Bible. Read and study the scriptures. My conclusion is this. God has graciously allowed his great and mighty works to be done by his people. People who are living out their faith wherever God has placed each one of them. These people of God lovingly and quietly go about doing the things for God. In God's name, maybe for a colleague, maybe for a friend, and sometimes for family members. These people of God sacrificially and quietly give of their substance without expecting returns. They give up their time to put another person first. They lovingly serve with their titles and their talents. They lovingly serve in the many ministries of our church. These are just some examples of God's people living out their faith in Christ. And I'm very sure, and I've encountered many of them, that they do all this to the praise and glory of God only. So when we do all this, really, especially in the non-Christian world, we must pray that the people will see Jesus in us. In doing good works, this may give us the opportunity to share with them the reason for the hope and the joy that we have. So let us not doubt when we live for Jesus and according to his word. Let us instead count our blessings. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you once again for encouraging us to have faith in you, even on those matters that doesn't have a clear black and white, that you do not cause sin. And once we have made a decision based upon biblical guidelines, biblical instruction, oh Father, we commit it to you. You are our hope. You are our future. You are our help. You are our security. So whatever is the outcome from those decisions, we know for a fact that you will be with us, you will guide us, and you will continue to bless us. So Father, help us not to be unhappy with ourselves for those decisions, but help us to be happy in you for guiding us through and seeing us through the consequences of those decisions. To be with us, dear Father, and continue to bless us, we seek your face in prayer. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.